Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Hottest Blog Talk Radio Show. This is your boy, Deacon Thompson Odom. How are you guys doing today? Thank you for coming to hang out with us today. You could have been anywhere you wanted to be, but you decided to come hang out with the Hottest Blog Talk Radio Show, The Barbershop. We're going to get right down into, we're going to get honest with God. It was first in our life. We thank Him for everything. Today, we're only doing a 30-minute show due to some technical difficulties, but next week we will be back on as prayerful as what we would normally do, the 1 hour to 2 hour shows. But we're asking the Holy Spirit to come in and have its way. I hope everybody had a good Sunday, well, a good weekend period, get ready for this heat. So with that being said, we're going to go into prayer, then after prayer we're going to go through the scriptures, then I'm going to introduce my co-host, my new pastor, my best friend, and we're just going to have fun. And the topic is, again, we're talking about what the church won't talk about. So if you call in and press one, some things you think that the church don't talk about, feel free to press one. Give everybody the opportunity to express their opinion. Again, we're not here to judge no one. But like I always say, I can't hit that mute button if you get to start talking, you know, negative things about what someone said. Everybody's entitled to their opinion and so on. Heavenly Father, thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for our activities, our limb. We thank you for you being who you are. Thank you for covering us. Thank you for letting us have a good night's sleep. Thank you for waking us up this morning, keeping us in our right mind. We just want to just thank you. If we had 10,000 tons, it wouldn't be enough to tell you thank you. Holy Spirit, come in and have your way while I would decrease and you increase. Bless all the ones that's listening on, that called in. Bless the ones on Facebook, wherever, social media they're listening to. God, let this word touch someone, prick their heart, and get them to see what life is all about and where we're coming from, because we need the true and living word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now we're going to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. 5, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That is our scripture for the barbershop. And we encourage you guys to read it, study, and ask the Holy Spirit to give you some clarifications on this, because this is one of the most important scriptures that we need in our lives. So with that being said, I'm about to introduce my co-host, my road dog, my best friend, my new pastor, to the ones that first time here, this is my boy. And again, I'm just so excited for what little bit time we had. Y'all just don't know. It's been rough today. A lot of things been coming up trying to get us, not do this. And one time I was contemplating, I was like, man, 30 minutes ain't enough. But we know in 30 minutes we can touch somebody's heart. We can touch somebody's soul and spirit and bring and lead them to Christ and help them stay on that right path. So with that being said, again, to my new pastor, my road dog, my best friend, my boy, Pastor Jay.
Pastor Jay. How you doing today? Yes, sir.
I'm doing good. And yourself?
I'm doing all right. Can't complain. Can't complain.
I know that's right. Like I said, we doing part 4 to this thing. What they don't talk about in church, what they won't talk about in church. And somebody sent me a message today, because we were just, because I didn't have no special topic. It's just going to be an open forum. And, Pastor Jay, I talked to you about this, about those two single pastors that someone sent me the video, and someone sent me and said, could we talk about sexless marriage, dating or courting with a single woman, dating a woman who's a leader in ministry, dating a prophet or someone with strong prophetic gifts, and what was the other one? Independent, turning it into independency. So, we gonna talk. They said something about mental illness in the church. And we're going to just get down to it. So with that being said, these are some of the things that a friend of mine said they want to know about what the church don't talk about. For the last fourth Sunday doing this topic, and we know that we've been having some good topics and some good people coming out and speaking, giving their opinion. We was on the same page. Last week, for the ones who missed it, the Holy Spirit came in and showed out again, as usual. And that's what we look forward to. We ask each and every one who called in, don't be afraid to talk. Because we already know, me and Pastor Jay, we can carry on a conversation until the cows come home. Because, I said, we do this every day at work. So that being said, Pastor Jay, when someone said something to me about sexless marriage, with the man and the woman, sex is a marriage. First thing came to my mind, someone could be either gay or they're just a plain old straight boring marriage. Because marriage is meant for a man and woman, and for a man and woman to be fruitful and multiply. So being married and not having sex with your wife, it's on the tip of my tongue. I want to get it out, but it just won't come out. Help me out, Pastor Day. I'm trying to get this to come out right, because I don't, that's still something to talk about, being married and not having sex with your wife or with your spouse. Man and woman, we ain't talking about man and man, woman and woman. We're talking about what God created, man and woman, in marriage.
Well, Chauncey, First, I didn't know that it exists, but then again, you got to think it could be on, because things what you said a few minutes ago, you know, we talked about this earlier in the week, that the husband and wife supposed to consummate the marriage. But, you know, you got incidents where, you know, things happen where the individual gets sick and you don't never know what the illness is or what the situation is, why they might can't have sex with one another on an intimate level. So, you know, we first and foremost supposed to be adjourned by the Spirit anyhow. When we are joined by the Spirit, then the Spirit will keep us together because, you know, in the end, we are, you know, we stay together long enough, we all going to get old. And, you know, all those pretty looks and those perky body parts are going, gravity going to take over and they're going to sink on male and female. So you got to be adjoined through the Spirit, have the Spirit to adjoin y'all so that y'all can be able to sustain those types of things so that you can be together without you know, because you know, sex plays a very important part, but, you know, if it becomes mutual, you know, whether it's health reasons or whatever it is, then, you know, that's between the two and God, you know. But then you got to look at the other hand, and somebody done lost the desire, or somebody got married for the wrong reason, somebody in the closet, or, you know, for some other, whatever the case may be. But it's a
such
thing as that.
Yeah, and another thing, I know when I had told you these guys was single pastors, and I can't remember. I know I read in the Bible. I got to go back and let the Holy Spirit guide me back so I can get a. Is it cool to be a single pastor? Or how does that play out?
Is it cool by what standard? Whose standards? That's the question. Yeah, because the world, right. The world is anything. Individual calling themselves in the ministry and lie on Christ that Christ called them. But, you know, we talked about this a couple of shows back, how unequally, how unbalanced that is. Because it creates a sense of distraction when you're a single pastor and you standing up there and before the flock and trying to minister and then trying to cancel. It's an unbalance because what the Bible says for a deacon to be the husband, one wife, ahead of the household, the bishop to be the husband, one wife, ahead of the household, the bishop is the head of administration. What is the head of administration? The pastor. That's what the word is. So then, how can that be right to be able to call yourself in the ministry and you're not married? Because that's a distraction. Right. You got women coming up in the church trying to get the pastor's attention, trying to be first lady, and doing all these things causing a distraction. See, because God is not the author of confusion, first and foremost. So he's not going to call you into position first if you're not there. Husband or one wife and the head of your household. So you got to be the head of your household first in order to be the head of his.
Right.
And that's one of the issues where people want to look over and don't want to pay attention to, want to leave out all these things. He calls you. You got to show yourself worthy first and foremost how you lead your family, being a man. How you lead your house. You got to be the husband, one wife. You got to be the head of your household. You got to be proven famous. And among other things, you got to live up to that standard. If you're not the head of your house, then how you expect him to place you above his church, his flock?
Right.
Well, you're not showing yourself worthy, first and foremost, in your own house. You got to call his brother. His phone ringing yet.
No, they don't ring it. We got a couple up here, but they just sitting back listening. had one that dropped off. I know that number that dropped off. So they was up here last Sunday, and we got to digging in. Evidently, the toad got stepped on because they burnt the road up real quick. And it's just like when you go to church, they want to go and get their ears tickled. But, you know, for people who done been up here once before, they ought to know by now that we don't bite our tongues. We tell the truth. We don't sugarcoat that. We don't have time to play games. So, you know, like I said, as long as we touch one, we dead our part, and I'm good with that. And that's how it goes. One time I used to get upset because it won't be a lot, but like they said, was two or three, he's in the mix. So we don't have but just me and you and one other person. We know the Holy Spirit can still come in and show out.
Hello. Hey. How you doing? I'm thinking, John, Steve, Pastor Jay.
Hello. What's going on?
I'll just let you know that I am here. I'm at work, so I can't say a lot, but I'm not one of those that's running off and got my toes stepped on. I'm woman enough to stand and hear the words. So
we already know how you roll. You done became accustomed to it, Angela. You on a regular basis. You got part of the team now, so we already know how you roll. But, I mean, I really don't know what to say, but it is what it is, and
stay to the topic. Don't worry about none of that. Just stay to the topic.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of stuff that they don't talk about in church. You know, sooner or later, like Pastor Jay said, he said all the time, when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, then you're going to realize, okay, this ain't the place for me. Then you're going to have to start evaluating yourself, or you're going to be like the crash dummy when they test a new car, put you in there and keep running to that wall and know, you know, what they're doing, and you ain't getting nothing out of it. So when they run them dummies into the wall, they test and see how fast they, certain speed they go and see how that car's going to withstand hitting that wall. It's just like you going to a church and ain't getting fed. How long are you going to keep sitting there being a crash dummy? You're going to keep going back, going back, going back, and all of a sudden you still ain't getting it. You know, it's time for you to evaluate, you know, what the problem is. We got another caller, 1317-1317. Go ahead,
hello,
caller.
Hey, everybody. Hey, Pastor Jay. Hey, Deacon Johnson.
Hey.
Hey, Elder Edmund. I just got on. Thank you for the topic tonight. I was the one that actually posed that question because I had somebody to actually ask me about it, and I was like, "What?" I was like, first of all, I don't know how you're going to tell me." And it was on a post. It was like, "I'm in a sexless marriage," and I'm like, well, "What was the point of you getting married?" But a lot of people are getting married. First of all, you know, people get married just to have sex. Then you have some people that get married nowadays just to have a title. You have people that will get together to be in a certain position, and they don't call that marriage. A marriage, they call it a partnership. And I tell people all the time, if you're not coming together for the right thing, you're living a lie. Sin is sin.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're living a lie before the people, how can you call yourself leading the people and trying to counsel somebody? Like, I don't feel like, now I know there are a lot of young pastors out here that are getting some training. If they have a covering that's walking them through and teaching them how to be a true shepherd and all of that, but you still have to have wisdom and knowledge in that. You cannot be call yourself counseling an older couple without being led by God, and then you're single. Not saying that you can't do it, but it's kind of like trying to teach somebody how to ride a bike and you never read a bike. you know how to read the instruction, tell somebody how to ride the bike. But if you've never ridden the bike, that's two totally different experiences. Two different experiences. And yeah, the word says a bitch is supposed to have one wife, but you have a lot of people in there that have lived long lives and have been married more than one or two times, and they feel like that God hasn't called them because the way some leaders will take that scripture and not really break it down. You're only supposed to have eyes for the person that you're married to. You're only supposed to be seeking the person that you're married to. You can't be married and then you got a side chick over here and a baby mama over there. But let's be honest, a whole lot of babies in the church that's by the leaders. There's a whole lot of wives that don't love their husbands. A whole lot of husbands don't love their wife. And if that's the case, you can't lead right if your house ain't right. And people pick up on that.
I have
sat in church, and my sisters listen. I have sat in church and been like, that's the first lady, but that's his boo over there. That's the first lady over there, but that's his girlfriend over there. And then, like I said, first of all, I know how to read. I got my discernment is on fleek. That's the one over there. He messing with her, but that's the first lady. Now I don't know how anybody else ain't figured this out, but that ain't right. And I ain't finna sit here and watch the first lady be disrespected. And your boo, everybody okay with your boo? And in some churches, leaders know what their leader is doing. And I know we're supposed to cover our leaders, mm-hmm. but you ain't supposed to cover their sin. You're supposed to cover their anointing. But if you can't sit down and say, look, I see you, let's fix it, because blood is blood. If you got bloody hands, your hands is bloody. And we got too many young sheep that's got blood on them, and they don't even know they're walking around with blood on them. And then they want to know what's going on with their life. It's because they're not mature enough to figure out what's going on. And I tell people all the time, if you're not, I have people that's on this listening now. If I know I'm not doing something right, you ain't got to set me down. I will go to my leader and say, listen, I got something going on. I need to get myself together. Let me take a sabbatical. I got something going on. I know I need to work through this. Let me sit down. Let me pass this spot, because I don't want to cause anybody else's walk to be stagnant, and I don't want to get in the way. And that's maturity. And that a lot of churches are not teaching that. It's okay when you know you're dealing with something and you know you got to get yourself right. You need to set yourself down before anybody else sets you down. Nobody has to tell you that. Like, we leave our houses and we tell our kids, I want this house clean when they come back. Whoever didn't do no cleaning, they need to own up that they ain't cleaning. Because in my household, one get in trouble, all in trouble. But the one that I know that didn't help, that didn't follow my instructions, you're going to get a little bit more. But you're not finna get everybody in trouble. But you don't have to keep telling people over the head. We all know when we're wrong. We all know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's people need to see real life nowadays. You got a lot of people in this next generation that everybody wants to talk about, the millennials and the other kids. They're sick and tired of seeing the same thing over and over and over again, and it ain't no change. And they're like, I keep on doing what I'm doing. If I'm going to do it. Cause that's why they feel like they can't come to God like they are. And I said, well, no, God loves you just like you are. I can't judge you. I want you to come. But keep your eyes off people. Because people have, there are saints that ain't. But then you want to turn your nose down at the other one that got a fault. I ain't going to judge you. Because we all seeing daily. I'm telling you, my fault. Chauncey knows me. My fault. In my mouth, I'm like, Lord, help me, Lord, because if I think it, I'll be willing to say it. I'm like, okay, I got to hold that, but I know, because I'm real. I'm like, that kid's not really. I know they just know I saw that. The Lord said, but I ain't tell you to speak on it. I need you to pray about it. Okay, Lord, I ain't going to say nothing. I'm going to go pray about it. But we have to get to the point where we're real and to have real conversations and to be okay with having real, true, transparent conversations. That's why a lot of people can't get delivered, and some people can't grow. Maturity is maturity, but if you don't show people maturity, some people they have to see it. They have to see it instead of you talking about it. They have to see it for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Della Phyllis? Penitentiary work. But that, I mean, that's real. I mean, it's just like, how can you miss, like Pastor Jay said, you know, we said this before, even when being on drugs, how can you, if you've never been on drugs, how can you minister to somebody and help them get through that addiction they're on? I mean, you can't do it. You can go and get all the education you want, get them degrees, but if you still never experienced or even smoking a joint, how can you help somebody that smoke weed? You can't. It's just like if you single, how can you counsel to a couple that's going through a divorce if you're not married, never been married? So, I mean,
that's why it's an unbalance when a pastor calling himself a pastor, he's not married. That's an unbalance. Mm-hmm. That's an unbalance. Like, and that's the point right there. They can't counsel or minister with a balance. They can't do that without a wife to stand beside them, to minister to them,
mm-hmm.
To the women and to the men, for the women's perspective, to create a balance.
Right.
To create a balance. So she on point with that.
Mhm. I mean, and I was talking to somebody the other day. Now people are looking for the realness. They want the truth now, because some want. I'm not saying everybody wants, but you have a certain percentage that's tired of being manipulated by the church, or by the person who called themselves to become a pastor. And you know, they're like, that's what's it. And it's in the church. Pastor sitting there with a girlfriend over there and wife or lady sitting right there. Her lady staring at him and all of them staring at him too. And, you know, you got to be discerning and know and see, and you got to call it out. It's just like when you hanging out with your friend, if I'm hanging with, say, if I was married and I'm hanging out with my boys and one of my boys is married, and this chick done came and started talking to him, he entertaining that mess, I got to call them out. I got to, because I don't want that blood on my hand. You my boy, but you want to sit here and rip and run around on your wife. That ain't right. And it's vice versa. Same with a woman. It's not right. And you hanging out with your single girlfriend, and you know, your mad sister messing with her boo. That's not right. And then I know me and Justin were talking about it too, that the pastor being on a DL and they just in it for the benefits. I don't see how in the world you could be in and call yourself to the men, well, being a minister. Well, we already know if you're doing that, you called yourself. Well, you know, Pastor Jay tells us all the time he's not an author of confusion. I don't understand how folks can be in an open marriage. That's just crazy. And then call yourself a pastor and a first lady. I don't get it, you know. Because there's always some signs knowing, huh?
The problem is everybody always want to be something or want to be somebody, calling themselves in these positions and getting in these marriages that ain't called by God. The Bible said men are called but few are chosen. See, that's why we got a Proverbs 3:5-6. We got to trust the Lord all our lean not to our own understanding and all of us acknowledge him so he can direct our path. He'll direct us. He called us into ministry. He called us into being a pastor. He called us to be married. Then we got to let his will be done. We calling ourselves in positions and putting ourselves in these marriages. And that's why they end up not working out, because they're unbalanced and they're unhealthy, because people put themselves ahead of Christ and they do what they want to do when they want to do it. And then they lie and say that he called them to these things. And people follow this mess, and that's where the deception come in at.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's sad that they do that, and wonder why people don't want to come to church, because you're playing the same game in the church as they're doing out there in the street. But, you know, but that we still have to encourage people, like Justin said, you don't go to church for them, you go for yourself and get that word. But if that word's not, if the the whoever's giving you that word ain't living right, you better think twice about it. It's time to pack your bags and do like Jenny told Forrest Gump, run, run, run. Because you don't want to be sitting in there. Yeah.
You should have went there from the get-go. If you trust the Lord and do what he say do and let him lead your footsteps, he ain't going to send you there. So that's where the problem come in at, people sitting where they want to sit and doing what they want to do, and that's how they end up in situations. And sitting up under these places ain't covered and don't have a covenant because they ain't led by Christ.
That's absolutely true. Let's see what else we can talk about. They don't talk about. I know Justin, me and Justin were talking the other day, and we were talking. She mentioned it last time. We were talking about the mental illness, and I was listening to somebody today, and they said matter of fact, they were watching this thing, one of the episodes where Oprah was talking to T.D. Jakes. And this guy was like, he came to church broken, but once he came there, he started growing and growing. People want to grow, but, you know, we have to be led by the Spirit to go to the right place. You don't want to keep going. And like I said, that now just a crash dummy. You keep running to that wall, because if he's not feeding you, so like Pastor Jay said, we have to lean on God and ask him to guide us where we can get fed and where we can grow, that where we can mature and do what he called us to do, is to serve our people and the gifts that we have to use them. And it's sad that they don't want to do this. And then just like me and I was talking to this other guy, I know I said it before when we were talking about prosperity, but they always talk about the house and car. They don't never want to talk about the prosperity of our spiritual life, of us growing and getting rich in God's word. And it's sad that people are being manipulated. But it's up to that individual. You still got to realize, like, wait a minute, I can't keep doing this. I heard somebody say, you keep doing the same thing, getting the same result. That's insane. I use it as a crash dummy. You keep going right into that wall. The wall ain't going to move at all. So we have to evaluate ourselves. We have to, you know, seek his faith first. You know, we got to seek him. We just, you know, even when I was coming, I would go to my grandmama's church. But as I got older, I was like, you know what, it's time for me to go somewhere where I can grow and start following, you know, going to sit with her. Just like my cousin, she told me last week, she said, I don't go there no more. She said, it was time for me and my family to go somewhere else. And I was like, well, that's understandable. Just make sure where you're going is where you were led by the Holy Spirit. So we have to still encourage each and every one to make sure that, you know, let them know you got to be careful. You know, because them folks ain't doing nothing but tickling your ear. And it's sad that it goes right on in front of our lives. Some see it, some don't. You know, and it's sad that the ones who do see they're afraid to say it because that's the pastor. But, you know, like I said, that ain't nothing but a title in front of that man's name. That's all that is, a title. He's a man just like I am. So why I'm going to be afraid to call him out? You my leader, but you doing dirt. Mm-mm. You got to call him out. It's time to take your bag, take your family. And here we go again, ask the Holy Spirit to lead you. If you're already in that situation, you know you're not getting fed, it's time to move on. You just can't do it. You can't minister to somebody when you're doing the same thing yourself. And then when you call them out, they want to get mad. But like me and Pastor Jay said, they want to talk about we judging them. No, you just got caught in your mess. We put ourselves in some of the situation that goes on, and we have to be accountable for it. And again, it's just sad that it happens inside the church. And we wonder why people don't come to church anymore. But we have the opportunity to get it right, so why not get it right? You know, I'd rather be somewhere where I'm like on the Pastor Jake telling, give me the raw and dirty truth. Don't give me a cake with all that frosting and cake still spongy in the middle. You ain't always baked, you know. You ain't put the flour in so it can rise. I want a full cake that rises. just like the word, give me the word like it's supposed to be. But just like me and Pastor Jay was talking the other day, he was giving me scriptures to read when we was at work, we were reading scriptures. And, you know, and I thank God for being up under his leadership, because no matter where we are, he's still giving me some word. I'm still being fed. And we, how many leaders do we know that we sit up on, no matter, you could be out hanging with them and having a casual day chilling, and they can still give you and feed you what you need for, in order for you to grow and move on to the next level. You know, some pastors, I'm not saying all pastors don't do it, but you got some that do it when they have like their little midnight out or something like that, or they hanging out. Some of them still pour into the people they hang with outside of church. And I think that's what we should let our leaders and pour into outside, not always inside. You know, that's why I'm glad, you know, I like a small church. Well, I know the pastor. I don't want to be no number. That's just like going to prison. You got a number. You got a number written across it. That's your number. They don't call your name. They call the number.
But, you know, it is what it is, you know, and it's sad. So, you know, like I always say, I encourage people to build your relationship with Christ and ask him to guide you the right way. You know, we all know that he's not going to lead us nowhere that we ain't got no business going. You know, but we have to make up in our mind and say, okay, enough is enough. I want to grow, you know. So sometimes we, by not living, we have to go through that long suffering, but you still have the opportunity and the choice to say, you know what, I'm tired. This ain't for me. I got to go somewhere where I want to grow. Where, you know, where they're going to tell me the truth and stop taking my money. Or I go in the same way and come out the same way. That's a problem right there. If you know you go in the church and you mad and you angry, and you still come out and you mad and you angry, there's something wrong. You know, you ain't no supposed to go to church and come out mad. You can go in mad, but you ain't supposed to come out mad. You do that, it's time to go. You got to evaluate yourself. You got to sit down and say, wait a minute, I just went in there mad and angry. I come out mad and angry. But I still paid my tithes and offering, but I still come out mad and angry. You know, but, you know, people, it happens. This is real life. This is reality. And this is what goes on in the church. They don't want to talk about. They don't even want to talk about homosexuals. They don't want to talk about gays. The last Pastor Day, we were talking one day, so I was born like, I was talking to somebody the other day, and we was talking the other night. They were talking about people saying they were born. Ain't nobody born gay. Ain't nobody born gay. They're like, they say, what you trying to tell me, Jesus, God is a lie? He made you that way? No. No. Yo, man, dude, you cray-cray. You got them demonic spirits. So you won't, none of us born gay. The ones who call themselves gay, you weren't born that way. You seen somebody that forced that mess on you, you weren't born like that. Mm-mm. It's sad that people think, you know, that's another topic. That's another thing.
I just want to tap on that little bit what you were saying about homosexuals, what they're going around lying and manipulate. See, Jesus loves everybody. He loves us all, but he hates sin.
He calls
us out of these things that we're in, because no sin has no weight. Even down to homosexuality, Jesus calls the individual out of that, because his word said, "Be ye holy for what? For he is holy." So we are to strive to be like Christ. We got to be what? Holy. So therefore, I don't care what they say about homosexuality, gay, and all this mess that is an abomination. Christ still loves you. He loves you, but he calls you out of the situation, calls you out of those things so that you can be holy, for he is holy, because we can't follow him, because he's the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father unless they come by him. So we must strive to be like Christ daily. We're supposed to strive for perfection. Homosexuality is a demonic spirit. That's all it is.
Right.
It's a spirit that the individual got to be delivered from. That mess got to be cast off them, and they got to be delivered from that before them to be able to follow Christ. And that's the part that need to be preached. They need to be told. It's nothing. You can't be born. You're not born gay. Ain't no such thing as born gay. Because what you're saying is that God is the author of confusion. You mean to tell me that he don't know what to call you? So he puts you, he put a female spirit inside your male body. Is that what you're saying? So you got to be careful, because you start blaspheming.
Right.
You start blaspheming the Holy Spirit, then that's unforgiving. When you start blaspheming the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit don't teach us that. The Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, the Holy Spirit teaches us that abomination, that's an abomination before God. So, you know, they don't want to teach people the truth. You go around here lying and say you were born that way. You're lying. You're lying on Christ. You're lying on God. You're lying on the Holy Spirit. You're lying. You're not born that way. That's a spirit. That's a spirit that you done been either taught or been in contact with. It got you confused. And when you confused and not knowing what you are, then it let you know that God ain't in you, because he is not a God of confusion. He's not the author of confusion. So where confusion lies, you don't know what you are, you're confused, then Christ ain't in you. He loves you,
right,
but he's not in you.
Anybody else? I told you, me and Pastor Jay can go in all day, every day. Justin?
Oh, I agree exactly what he says. Like, I tell him all the time, listen, Pastor Jay, I'm a high school teacher. The stuff that I see on a daily basis, I be like, I have to watch my tongue. But I tell them all the time, I love you, and I love you with the love of the Lord. But I'm real with them. And because I'm real with them, they'll come back and they'll ask me different questions. I tell them, I can't judge you, because I see in David like everybody else, because my thoughts, nobody's perfect. I said, but we're living in a society now, and even though I know me and Charleston, I know me and Elder talked about this some years ago as well. What truly amazed me, I did a study a couple of months ago. North Carolina is the Bible Belt. But the stuff that has like shaken my foundation, but kind of shook me up was the stuff that is being allowed, that the church is fully accepting to get people in the church, which is fine. You get people in, but you do not just not deal with the whole person. Like we were talking about mental health, it needs to be talked about. All of this stuff needs to be talked about, and you got to have some grace for it. You receive the person as the whole person, but you have to let God change them. But you have to also teach them too. And I had to learn. I tell my students all the time, even though I'm a teacher, I'm a student at the same time. And they were like, Ms. B, I don't understand what you're saying. I said, I teach you the wisdom and the knowledge that I have, but you're teaching me something that I've never been taught. Because you're the age that you are, and you're going through things at your age that I never experienced. I said, so you're teaching me how to deal with it and to go about and to learn a certain way. I said, also, you're opening up my eyes to some things that I never see before. And I tell them, just because you're at the age you are, never think that you can't teach me something that I can't learn from, just like I teach you something that you can learn from. So we can't judge each other, but we have to understand we can agree to disagree, but I will never take away from God's word. And the issue about mental illness is, there's a big stigma in the church that some stuff has a chemical imbalance in some people. Some people got a history of stuff in their family that they can't change because it's in their DNA. Some stuff is a spirit that some people learn. Some stuff is spoken over people that some people got to get prayed off of them. But to not just not deal with mental illness, period, you can't pray everything away. Some people have to learn, like a lot of young kids now have been labeled as having all these disabilities. It's not a disability. the child never learned how to handle anger. The child never learned how to show love. The child was never